Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, brothers and sisters, we're live on Blog Talk. Thank you for your contributions and your continual support of our work. In the spirit of Christ, we thank you for all you do in being loyal Patreon members. On top of that, all your support with the Academy and other ways through prayer, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Okay, if you'd like to weigh in, the lines are open. I would like to hear your opinion on what we've gone over so far. Folks, the reality is the world has gone so far, there's nothing to fix anymore. There's nothing we can do about the world. It's over. The only thing we can do is fall in order with the Most High and be protected from the chaos that have been incentivized against us. Okay? Let me open up the lines. Andre. Shalom, Andre.
Yes, sir. Big shalom, Elder. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm blessed by the best. Thank you, sir. Talk
yes,
to
sir. His name is Ahai. You know that. What's so interesting about this topic, Elder, that I think a lot of sisters, they can grasp this idea when it comes to a gentleman, but they don't necessarily grasp it when it comes to themselves, is the idea of personal responsibility. I was actually preparing a presentation at work, and I was listening to a Jordan Peterson lecture while I was doing it. He's trying to get some tips, you know. And one thing he mentioned was he truly sees it as impossible for a man to put a woman in her place without a woman understanding her own personal responsibility to be submissive. And the point that he made was men, after a while, as men, our resolve turns to violence. If a man faces off with a man after a certain amount of time, his resolve will become violent. Like there's only so many words we can exchange as men before, you know, aggression comes into play. And he was like, a man of understanding won't allow, forget my dog, but he said a man of understanding won't allow aggression to come into play at all when it comes to a woman. So there's no rational way for him to put her in her place, using that word as a very loosely. There's no rational way for him to check her in a sense, without her own personal responsibility coming into play, understanding that her position is to be submissive to Christ first and then to that man, of course. So that was real interesting, the point that you made about how can a man deal with those kind of women that you showed, because even from a psychological standpoint, I don't think there is a way without personal responsibility coming into play. And as far as the vaccines go, Elder, they're going to try all they can to get our people, man. Of course, with the new waves of the RSV and the new waves of flu coming out, they're blaming everything for COVID. One thing I'm telling a lot of things to be aware of is in this wintertime, take a lot of vitamin D3 and K2 to boost your immune system. Take a lot of vitamin C probiotics and just be aware, because any respiratory sickness you get, they're going to try to call it a cold, as you already know. And I'll yield with that, Elder.
Okay, one thing I would like to say, the head of the woman is the man, not Christ.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Absolutely.
So I wanted to correct that because for a while the Christian church have tried to get around that. Well, I got a secret. I got a personal relationship with Christ. Well, you don't have a personal relationship with Christ without a man in between you and Christ. Well, what if I don't have a man? Well, there's young widows and young virgins who are without husbands. They're still under some authority being a part of a church who has a bishop. Still, there's a male go-between.
Mm.
Okay? Now, the order according to Christ. Now, even if you don't have a husband, doesn't mean you jump straight to Christ. No, there have to be a man in that position to guide, to counsel, to direct. Now, the next thing is, and this is the question that I'm going to put out there, and I hope a lot of women who don't even have the truth or may fall on this one day. I hope they can be able to answer this question. And the question I have is, what is a woman willing to give up for protection? I really believe that the way news and The View and all these things, Oprah programmed the world, and Oprah had bodyguards, okay? So she can say what she wants, knowing that none of this is going to affect her personally, even though she's putting women in harm's way with her rhetoric. The reality is, we've made women in this world believe that being protected is an entitlement. No. you get protection for submission. Right?
Wow.
So
wow, no, that's very true. And
yeah,
and thank you for that correction, Elder. Man.
Yeah, it's because it's through submission that man is willing to protect that woman, knowing that she don't have the propensity or wherewithal to protect herself. So that emboldens him more so in the spirit to the degree of violence or even losing his life for that woman.
Absolutely.
In exchange for submission.
And,
so that's another
what's
thing.
So amazing.
Because I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of things going on right now, and it's being filmed, where assaults, women are being hurt and all that, on subways and all that, and men are just sitting there holding themselves up, looking at the violence without stepping in. And people are wondering, like, what's going on? It's the cowards. These men are like, nah, this world isn't made for a man to engage in such circumstances like this anymore without the thought of losing their lives. Mm-hmm. If I step in, once the cops come in, are they going to look at the fact that I was defending this woman from someone who's assailing them, or will they shoot me? So this is the world we're under. So the whole deal is we have to walk with wisdom, and women have to understand that it's time to get a covering. Because why? That's right. Protection isn't is no longer an entitlement. Protection comes with submission. You have the last word.
My goodness, Elder. I mean, you always quantify it so well. I think you made it very clear. Something you said on Wednesday's broadcast is you brought out the scripture about how a man who finds a wife, the scripture says she becomes a pillar of peace unto that man. And of course,
pillar
I don't
rest.
Have a wife yet, but pillar of rest. Thank you so much, pillar of rest. And of course, I don't have a wife yet. But one thing I noticed about the brothers I'm very close to in the church who are married. It's like you said, they're so willing to risk their lives for their wives, it's not even funny. The amount of love these brothers give these women and the amount of protection and they give these women is innumerable. You can't put a number on it. And it's because those women are truly their pillar of rest. You can see the peace in their eyes when they look at their spouses. But like you said, it's that submission that motivates a man. I even think about my own mother and my sister. The way my own mother and my sister treat me, that motivates me to do what I do to protect them.
Exactly. Hey, let me tell you, I don't know who's out there, but if I'm around my family, they can look at me and they can look at the people around me to know that they'll have to have a standing army to touch any woman I care for.
Come on.
my mother was here. People in the church.
Come on.
They can look in a man's eyes and know, okay, there's other viable candidates to assail than me trying to go through these people to get to a woman. So I wholeheartedly know and believe a woman should be protected. But there's another thing. Women have to understand how sometimes when they lose submission and femininity, how that moves them from the realm of a covering or a man who would actually put his life on the line for you. So you can't be independent implies you're on your own. You can't be dependent when it's convenient for you. If you're independent, that means you are what? You're separate from the protection of a man. This whole thing has to be recalibrated because men are waking up and saying, listen, I'm no longer sacrificing myself to be dead or in jail and you'll still be out here doing whatever, looking for another guy to put his life on the line for you when you are walking callous and operating in this earth wicked and without any boundary. Men are saying, well, no, I'm being baited in. I'm being baited into Satan's game. And eventually I'll be in jail or pushing daisies while she's out, you know, doing the same thing in the world, leading to more men falling.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
My goodness.
Thank you, Andre. All right.
Bless you, Andre.
Bless you. 443 area code. Good man. Shalom.
Shalom, Elder. This is Danita from DMV.
Hey, how are you doing, Danita? What's yours?
I'm good. I just want to say, like, as a woman that's married and seeing that the sisters out here that don't have a man, a lot of them are regretting not getting themselves together sooner. And the ones that chose these, you know, these women that's transgender and all that, trying to be men, they're regretting doing that because, like you said, the covering is gone. And as I hear from, like, the brothers, they're saying, look, we're not protecting these women that are not ours. They're not our wife. They're not, you know, nothing to us. So these girls that's out here that don't have a hedge of protection, they're getting killed and all of that. And it's sad to see that because only thing will be left is these transgender trying to be men. And, you know, that's a dangerous look for children. That's a dangerous look for family. So,
yeah,
you know, they have to really take that into consideration. A man was made to protect his woman. And he was made to lead his family. So when you take that away, and the woman just figures, oh, I got the bag, or he's only made for financial gain, they're destroying the whole purpose and why the man was put there in the first place. And I just yield with that.
I'm glad you brought up the financial piece. I'm only going to get him for the bag or whatever. And see, because mm-hmm. sisters haven't been taught to understand what's viable, what's understandable when it comes to, there's certain things that's worth more than money. And to prove mm-hmm. that, the military pay their enrollees and those who are enrolled within the military so much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because they understand men and women in the military as a resource is more important than the finance itself. With the person,
what?
I can use this person to go not just defend the country, but to go take down other countries for me. So they're willing to put the money into what? The commodity, which are people. A woman by proxy with a man who loved them, who don't have much. It's still worth mm-hmm. his weight in gold because you have a security guard before you. You have a person that's going to put their own life. And when you're sick, you have somebody laying next to you cooking you some food. You can't quantify money for that. Who's going to lay by your bedside and the lowest days when you can't walk will walk for you. When you
That's
can't
right.
do things, they're running errands for you. You can't put money, you can't quantify that. And see, and that's what women don't understand. Relationships is more than where you work and how much you get paid. You are a whole person who's willing to sacrifice your life and limb and your well-being, as well as you become a caretaker, you become someone who hears someone else, you become someone's psychiatrist, you're hearing their problems and you're talking things out. You don't get just a person with a wallet. You get a friend.
Right.
You understand? And that's what they don't really realize. I mean, you can get money anywhere. If it's a financial exchange, then that's no different than what? If it's a financial exchange, then men would rather go to a brothel.
Mm-hmm.
They'd rather go spend money, which is evil in itself, spend money on a woman who they don't have no physical ties to. So when has relationships become a financial exchange where a woman would relegate herself to, I'm only willing to give myself to this man if I get the bag? Well, that sounds like 304 type of activity. All right.
And see, they done done a number too on our women, you know, black women. We didn't, you know, we didn't fell for everything, and
see,
we lost that love and respect.
See, but let me tell you this: they could not have done anything on anyone unless there was some type of interest in that person biting or wanting a particular lifestyle. Okay,
correct.
So we have to a degree, we have to stop giving excuses of they tricked. No, what happened was the fruit was there and she ate.
Yeah.
With the choice, knowing that it could bite her in the end.
That's right.
All right. Thank you.
Accountability. Tell them one.
Thank you. 470 area code.
Shalom, Elder.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Your name?
Tyene. How you doing, Elder? This is so perfect. Like you always hit the topics that is needed. And that's the Holy Spirit. I like to thank you, Elder. All praise to the Most High, Bashing Yashad, with Mubaka Dash. Elder, without you, I don't know what our people or where we would be right now. Elder, I wanted to say, there's been times where I had a friend. It was just me and my three kids, and it was a sister. She was just a friend. And we was living in Richmond at the time in a house, and she wanted her abusive boyfriend that choked her out and almost killed her to come live with us in the house. We was renting from her grandmother. So I called the grandmother and said, listen, I don't know who this guy is, but, they're arguing all the time. And she said, oh, I know who it is. Don't worry about it. He won't be there. So she got mad and grabbed a fork and stabbed me. I returned instead of reacting. I called the police. The police came. And one of the officers with two brothers. One of the officers laughed at me, and I'm like, you laughing, brother? I'm like, if I try to do something to her, you guys would have came in here and locked me up. And another thing that happened the other night, and I'm gonna be real quick. My son was killed in 2002.
Sorry.
What happened was, yes, sir. The guy that did it was her husband. Now, she was not worried about our son. She was more worried about the guy being in jail. She locked herself in the bathroom and tried to threaten to kill herself. And basically, what I wanted to say is, it's so hard for a brother that's want to do good and want to be doing the right thing. But I told her, I said, listen. And it came to me at the time before I even got this awakening. I said, if you guys had any problem, just call me and let the boys come be with me and y'all handle y'all situation. And there was another incident of Elder, after my son passed, she got with another guy. She had a daughter by this guy. They ended up fighting in the room. My son ended up going in there trying to break them up. The guy kicked my son in the head. Now, this at the time, she called me crying, and I was thinking the worst. And that was that was part of the worst. So I was like, just don't talk to him at the time. And I wasn't baptized. I'm baptized in the church now. At the time, I wasn't baptized or none of that else. I was actually was about to do what a man would have did that doesn't have this understanding of forgiveness. And he moved in the middle of the month, and she ended up bringing him to my son's game 2 weeks later. Same one that her husband killed our son. So it's like what you're saying is very important, and sisters need to hear this because not only that they have to take accountability, we have to too, and make sure that we have the understanding of Christ's true doctrine, which we can learn if you get into that Hebrew Bible Academy. Everybody out there, spread the word and definitely come in. And I thank you, Elder, for taking my call.
Well, thank you, brother, and I'm sorry for your loss, but the Bible says in times past, he winked at our ignorance but command everyone everywhere to repent. So the bottom line is we can't change some of our past choices, but going forward, I believe that men, we operated in total ignorance concerning the society our women or women are well aware of. And they're well aware that the system and the courts are there to protect them against us at any point. So not that the courts won't benefit us, but we never thought to be calculating and get in front of things so that we're protected judicially. If there's a child, whatever the case is, brothers don't think, let me go and make sure I get part custody from the beginning to protect myself down the line. We don't even think that the relationship may go south when 80% of relationships, when over 80% of the marriages are actually, or breakups, are actually initiated by women.
So the whole deal is, it's upon men to wake up and wise up to the system and understand how to use the system for themselves and know that, okay, not that I believe that this might happen, but let me protect both of us in case. Listen, you got a child, we both are going to go and get 50-50 custody from the beginning, because that's the way it is. I'm the man, you're the woman, and I want the court to see us so we have equal say if something happened down the line. I don't want the courts to believe that I'm a deadbeat and I'm not responsible by you having 100% custody. That's the backwards thinking that men have allowed to permeate amongst ourselves. How can you be the man of the house and your woman has 100% custody of your children? That's utterly insane. You don't hear about that in the Arab world. So we're late to the party, but it's time that brothers understand it's time to take back at least the authority, at least the least amount of authority we can have. Okay? So it comes down to that. We all worked in ignorance, not realizing that you know, one side was being programmed and educated to how the system works, while we were walking naive, thinking that nothing could ever happen to us. Now, this is where we are. Because of that case, if you had that custody, boom, you would have been able to say, listen, this is not a safe environment. I don't have to go to the courts and all that. I'm taking my son with me. Right?
Yeah. All right. Can you write down my number? I asked you to call a little while ago. I would like to share a lot of experience I've been through. It's right on topic of what's been going on. There's so much that happened in my life, Elder. I guarantee once you hear this, you'll understand that make a higher in your size name and the walk of Dodge that I'm here now, and it's true. If you write down my number, give me a call.
No problem. Let me have your name again, brother.
Kaim. Kaim is Chaym. My real name is Chris.
I just call you Chris.
Okay.
All right, brother. I'll call you. All right. Bless you. And I'm glad you made it through. All praise be to the Most High. Have a blessed Sabbath. Let me get to these
all
calls. 937 area code.
Hello, Elder. This is Sister Rhea from Ohio. I've spoke with you before and just wanted to let you know, as always, I am in the Academy, and of course you already know I'm a member of Patreon.
Thank you.
So I'll get straight to the point. I definitely believe that the woman is there to support the man, and she is supposed to be submissive, and of course she would need to have a man as the head because he is her covering. So I just wanted to put that out there first. Then I wanted to say, and if I'm wrong about this, I hope that you let me know. I know that you will. And most of all, I hope that I'm being guided by the Most High. What I want to say is, yes, Elder, us as women, you know, we have had to go through so much. We have had to be everything. We have to be the wife. We have to work. We have to be the mother, the maid, the doctor, the lawyer. In spite of all of that, me as a woman, I have always chose the Israelite man, the black man. We cannot afford to be weak like a Karen. We have to support our man, not only in love, but we also have to support a lot of times financially too, and that's okay, because the way society is set up, it hasn't been set up so the man can financially support the woman, our women, like the white man can. And that's okay. If a woman has to help her man like that, you know, they're working together as one to do the will of the Most High. That's the way I look at it. That being said, I don't know if I'm living under a rock. Maybe I am. But I do see our black men for a long time choosing especially the white woman and other races, especially when they get into a position of power and money. And I have to say that's very hurtful to me. I want to say that I do have a husband, but that's hurtful. You know, especially when I'm going into a store or something and I see our men with other races. And what I have noticed, especially with white women, I have to say this, you know, they have this kind of attitude like, yeah, I got your man. And it's like they're flaunting it. Lastly, I want to say, me, myself, and I have typed it in the, I have put it in one of the responses before, because it's true. All my life, I've had white men especially come after me and tell me how beautiful I was. I've never wore a lot of makeup. Me, myself, I didn't think back then, and I don't think now. I'm older now. I'm at least your age. But even back then, I never thought I was all that beautiful. I was plain to me. My sister experienced it, and now I have daughters, which are teenagers. They go through it. That being said, no matter how they came after me, I still always chose the black man. I love the black man. I think you guys are the most beautiful, handsome, creative, intelligent beings on earth. But it really hurts when a black man gets to be in a position of power and an authority where they can't give back to their people. They choose the other races. That is very, very hurtful, Elder. If you could address that, I would appreciate it. And if I'm out of line, like I said, please tell me, because I by no means want to do that. I respect you. I respect what you're doing, and I love you. Lastly, when you showed those women, especially the last one, I do see now. First, I was like, where is he going with this? For a while, you know how you say that the black women can be violent. I've seen that. You are right. But I did look at it, and I said, where is the fathers of these two women who are LGBTQ, gay, whatever? Where are their fathers? Because if they were doing what they were supposed to do, I don't think they would be living that kind of lifestyle. And where is the father of those children that I'm sorry, I'm going to stop because you were talking.
Listen. This is why I framed it the way I framed it. Because for years, the misdirection or the place of actually taking responsibility and accountability has always been, I would say, obfuscated or just placed out of the way when it comes to asking what about the man. And I'm going to answer that. See, where did you grow up again?
Ohio.
I grew up in North Philadelphia. Right? My father was one of the strongest men that I could ever think about, right? And I believe a lot of who I am is because of him. But I've seen in my household, I've seen the woman liberation scenario work out in my home where my mother would allow my sister to get away with things. And even if my father would try to stand up, she was there. My mother, she was there to back him off. She knew right from wrong, but she also knew my mother, that being her only girl, would be there to make excuses for her. Okay? And things didn't work. I'm going to tell you. So I've seen that. I've seen where a strong man is there, and he's trumped by the woman. And guess what? Ain't nothing you can do about it, because if the father stand up and try to stop her from going outside, what happens? The cops is called. You can't stop me. I'm grown. And she's out there doing what she want to do, and the father can do nothing because the mother is saying, well, listen, she's getting older, da-da-da-da-da, and now she goes to a degree where she's so far that no one can get her anymore. See, and we witness this in our environment, and sometimes we act as if that doesn't exist, where a strong man is there But yet the women are hard-headed and aren't going to listen to the man. That exists. Now I'm going to ask you, have you ever seen situations like that where a man was around but a girl did what she wanted to do anyway?
In my household, my parents...
Listen to my question. Not your household. Have you ever seen a situation where a young lady comes from a nuclear family where the father and mother's there, where a girl end up doing what she wanted to do anyway?
To be honest, I'm not a very social person, and I'll have to say, I don't know if that took place in the household because...
Okay, so let me make it clear.
I haven't seen it.
That's why I need to help you out with this. Because what you're seeing is anecdotal based on your own experiences. But when you look at the number, the percentages, what I'm saying concerning what led to people doing what we've seen earlier, that's the majority. Where a man cannot tell them to do nothing, okay? A man cannot tell them to do nothing, even if he's present. Now, there's other circumstances where a man is there and you know, the values are instituted, and the girl walks a straight life, or she may veer off a little bit but have a landing place because the values were instituted at an early age. It's always better to have a father around. I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying is when we got these incidents, we have to, once and for all, for one moment, move the man out of the way altogether so that there's no door to escape. So that now women can now just face what they're doing, regardless outside of men. No escape hatches. This is your life. These are your choices. Why are you doing this? And when will you repent from your own grown actions and stop making excuses and blaming other people for why you're destroying society? And guess what? Men, on the other hand, guess what? We can't make excuses. I can't come to a woman and say, well, listen, there was no father in my home. My mother was abusive. And I'm a grown man talking to a woman who's looking at me saying, listen, man up. Okay? That's not a comely position to be in, where you tell a woman to accept you because of your upbringing. A man don't get, you know, we don't get that latitude. We are expected to stand as men, regardless of our past mistakes and our upbringing. So what we're saying is it's time for, that's right, to shut all doors and just point to the women. Because a man can't get away with his callous and irresponsible acts. We know what's at the end of those. Jail or what? Dead. We know the consequences of not getting it right. We don't have to worry about, sister, us burning up a car only to be released 8 days later knowing that the government isn't going to do anything to allow me to do more to my people. As a black man, I don't know what that looks like. Okay? But obviously,
well, thank you,
others don't realize. But I wanted to say that first, but the next thing I wanted to address, talk to you about, really, not address. When you say you're willing to, when you said all the things you do, which is good, what is it that you have done or continue to do it with your experience in life that women before you didn't?
I think they did more before me. I think they did more.
They did more. And this is what's going on with the society, this spoiled society, where now we have to talk about the things we do when the women before us did more. Right? And guess what? That's great that you're doing all these things. But the reality is, in general, sometimes we state, you know, not to downplay anything you're doing. It's as if we state doing what a functional adult should be doing as some level of accomplishment. And not to say you should be doing what you're doing. There's nothing wrong with that. But this is what I'm saying. Guess what? The women of past did more. And on top of doing more, they kept their families together. Okay? So, yes, I understand what you're saying. But when one side is incentivized to do chaos without consequences, there's no man anywhere can stop them. The only thing a man can do is preach the word or be a father or be someone that they can actually lean on even after they make their mistakes. But this system has set up where can't depend on a man, always instilling fear in these young girls, making them believe they're going to be hurt, that if they don't get things on their own, nothing is going to be there at the end of them. And then they grow naturally being programmed to fear men.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing so, they do what? They waste the better part of their life thinking they got to go to school and all these other things. And then by the time they're out of school, the white girls you're talking about have already swooped in and took those young men. The same young men that these girls in school said were square. Okay? I've seen this. They don't even realize these square men that get successful, that's run around with these white women, the majority of them are there because they were rejected by their own women as square at 18, 19, 20 in college, where the jocks and other people were actually getting all the girls, and they were being laughed at. And then we see them 20 years later successful with a white woman, not realizing that these were the only people who seen what they would become and understood square was good, that they would grow into themselves and be wanted by all women. So it's time for our women to recalibrate themselves, right? And say, you know what? Let me take a page out of these white girls' books and get the square. Because that guy that you think is the one, the toxic one, the strong and jock, guess what? In a few more years, he's going to be ran down, and you don't know what he's going to look like at 30, 40, 50. But that square, that little square guy, he's going to hit the gym. He's going to hit the books. He's going to improve his mind. He's going to broaden himself through travel. And he's not going to resent black women. He's going to move himself to a point where it's not about resentment. I want a more cultured, rounded person. And white women and others learn how to get those men on the way up.
More loving than our women, you know. And looked at a picture of your son that you put up. Yes.
Sister, listen to what I'm saying, because I'm speaking through experience. I have two sons. I have two sons, one who's about to finish college, and I have another son who graduated Temple University. And guess what? I've went through the freshman years all the way to the graduation with them, and they've told me their experiences. I've had my own experiences. Let me tell you, even though I sung and did all these things, guess what? It was certain girls out there who didn't realize the potential of what I was dealing with and thought I was square. But it's one thing of thinking something. It's another thing using your mouth to damage the man who will one day stand to help you and your people.
Right.
And that's what our sisters don't understand, the damage in words that they can do to the confidence of a man who loves them. And they'll say it outright in front of other people and joke about it in front of other people to embarrass that man, not realizing that wound takes a long time to heal. Even though men are strong, they have feelings too.
Mm-hmm.
So when they grow, they don't see themselves marrying a woman who would berate them like that. I'm not making an excuse. Because both of my sons found beautiful black women. But it was not before
and
they
And they're handsome
was.
Sons. I just had to say that. Very, very handsome.
Thank you. But not before they was able to heal their confidence and heal the wounds that came from the same women they initially were interested in. And we don't hear that part. We don't hear that part of Kanye West being square in college and black girls laughing at him. Tupac, before he turned into a thug, he says, listen, our sisters, they don't want good men. I opened the door. He had to become a thug and all that, be everything, be a dreg of society to get attraction from women. So some brothers don't want to go that route. Some brothers want the light route, the feminine route. And sometimes they see that on the outside of their own person. And it's a shame. That's an indictment not just on them, but all of us. But it's time that our sisters begin to understand their part in it.
I agree. We need to understand our part. I think it goes both ways. I just think that it's a sad thing because
it doesn't go both ways. And the reason why it doesn't go both ways, the consequences are different for us than it is for women if we get things wrong. So it don't go both ways. If we do the things women get away with, we can expect death or jail. So it's out of balance. We have to be accountable for our actions, knowing there's consequences for it. So it don't go both ways. We have to look. We've been looking at it since Oprah and all of that, and all we've been looking at it from one lens for the longest. And it was one place the lens have never been shined upon. And that's where it needs to be focused right now. It was always, men are no good. I don't need a man. There's nothing going on but the rent. I don't need no more scrubs. We accepted the berating of men within our entertainment and our societies without thinking that there would be no blowback. So men have always had their side of the blame insinuated or actually shown out there before the world. There's only one side that haven't been shown in its entirety. Especially when we're living in a society now where if a man is strong, a man is providing, a man does, he makes provisions, and he living in a society where he do stand up and say, I want it my way, and you're going to submit, only to be turned around for a woman to say, you're controlling and you're abusive. Right? So even a man that does stand on his laurels and does everything, he still has an uphill battle to fight under certain circumstances when a woman don't realize or appreciate the gift that comes with a man who could do so. Right? So
I
what
just
I'm hope saying
you
is
come together. Yeah, it's one.
Sister, I gotta come together with Christ, and woman gotta come together with the man. That's the order.
Yes.
And then we'll come together. But the reality is the majority aren't going to do this. We're just putting it out there to let you know that a storm's coming. And whoever don't have cover,
right,
man or woman, will be taken in it, right?
Amen.
Well, thank you.
You are right. Thank you.
Sister, I'm glad you brought some of the talking points, a different perspective. And it's great because we need to have that conversation. The conversation was good, right?
Bless you,
because,
Elder. Thank you.
Because what we need also is women taking accountability.
Yes,
because I'm going to tell
I
you, men are loving. Men are forgiving. Okay, men are loving and men are forgiving. If we can only hear, okay, I'm wrong. I did this. What can I do? Listen, our men ain't going anywhere. We ain't going nowhere.
I just don't want them to choose the other races. I don't want them to choose that. That's against God. It is.
The whole thing is this. Did you call in the other day on the radio show?
I have called in a couple of times, yes, sir.
Okay. Did you call in Wednesday?
No, I don't think I did.
Okay. Because I gave an answer to a woman who asked the same question.
No, but she asked what I was thinking, but it wasn't me.
No. So you heard it. So here's the answer.
Yes.
If you don't want to see our brothers choosing other women, it's time you start talking to these sisters like our elder women used to do.
I have, and I've talked to the men too. I've talked to both young men, like my son. He won't be doing
that. Well, Sam, but that's all we can do. The reality is a man is going to choose the place he deems there's peace. Regardless
it's just
of what
the sign of a nation that has fallen. When you see a man doing that, that is a sign. And,
of course.
Yeah, and I see. But you had a man come on your show too Wednesday. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So listen, it seemed like we're screaming at the end when we're already off the mountain.
Yeah.
What we're looking at in number is a byproduct of women liberation, years of women telling men, black men in particular, they aren't nothing. They're dogs. They're not needed. And now we're seeing where men are actually have taken the message and ran with it. And now we're going to look at it at the end and say, well, you know what? This just isn't right. It just shouldn't be. Yeah, it hasn't been right for a long time. So what you're seeing is the end result of pushing men away. And the other women are saying, I'll take them.
We love you guys so much. And I know it's not just me. You know, Chris Rock did a show about it, how black women have always been chased by, but we didn't choose the white man. We never have.
Sister, listen. The Bible says, neither love in tongue or in word, but in deed.
Amen.
Indeed. Indeed. For years, men been saying, we don't want the hair. We don't want the makeup, not knowing how you look. We want submission. We don't want argument. For years. And now the young men are saying, well, listen, stop me from getting the woman with the hair that grows out of their hair if you don't love the hair growing out of yours. If you're going to get hair to look like them, why don't I just go get the original model? And not realizing you're driving the man to the woman you're complaining about by trying to look like her.
So I think it's the opposite. I think they try to look like us. I mean, look at Kim Kardashian. I don't think she was born looking like that.
Sis, I'm telling you a man's perspective. You're giving me a woman's perspective.
I got you. Okay. Yeah.
So listen, as a man's perspective, if a man don't want a woman with all that stuff coming out of his hair, he's going to look at it and say, okay, the Brazilian hair, why don't I just go to Brazil and get me a woman with the hair?
Okay.
I don't want this mess. So it's the woman's aesthetic saying that if she's not good enough, then a brother's going to say, why should I settle with what's not good enough when I can go get what she's trying to be? So
okay.
It's indirectly driving the man to a woman if she's trying to be like another woman. A man would rather have a full black woman the way he chooses her, or if she's trying to be like the other woman, if that's what he likes, why don't he go get the original one?
I got you.
So it,
yes.
So it still falls on loving who you are at the end of it. And then if you love who you are, then a man will love who you are. But if you're going to be and start putting the aesthetics in the hair of other women that we look at you and know it doesn't grow out of your hair, eventually, men are going to look back and say, okay. And these men in the world, they'll deal with you. But at the end of it, they'll be like, you know what? Why don't I get the woman these women are making themselves up to be? So if you don't, it's time to go back to the beginning now, right? Let's get ourselves like we was. And above all, outside of the aesthetics, being submissive. Being dainty, being a happy person, being a friendly person, being at where you're happy to be around. You are a pillar of rest. When a man comes around, he sighs because what? There's no arguments. There's no debate. There's no competition. That's above the aesthetic. So I'm glad we had this conversation, sister. Bless you.
Me too, bless you. I love you, Elder.
Listen, sister, and I did hear you, but I believe it's time where women need to just hear men, too. Hear men.
I'll work on that.
No, I'm talking about you. I'm just talking about in general. I'm talking about in general.
Yeah.
If a man telling you what he wants, why, out of all people in the earth, a black man can't get what he wants from his black woman without resistance?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Elder.
All right. I'm going to show you an example of something of what – keep on looking, sister. I'm going to show you an example of what some of these young people out here today have to deal with. And you tell me what choices they have. before the brother said something, I noticed you, if you notice this sister, she has some makeup on, but her hair is nice. Her hair looks like it came out of her head. And she's saying, well, listen, y'all don't mess it up for me because I want a man. This independent stuff is ridiculous. Okay. So there are women out there who are fighting back. And that's the whole point I wanted to show there. But she's outnumbered by many. All right. A few more calls and we're done. 708 area code. 708. All right. 708 isn't there. I'm going to the next call. 765. 765.
Shalom, Elder Rakal. Can you hear me?
You're very faint. Your connection sounds faint, a little faint.
Okay, I'm gonna take you off my Bluetooth real quick. That's probably what it is.
All right.
Is this clearer?
All right, that's better, yes.
Okay, Shalom, it's an honor talking to you for the first time, Elder Ricard. It's a pleasure. That's a blessing.
Well, bless you.
All praises. So I'm from the Las Vegas body. My name is Yahweh Shai. I'm originally from the Indianapolis body. I just wanted to call and just give a testimony just based off the conversation you just had with the sister. And I just wanted to share my experience growing up as a teenager. I'm 32 years old. And I remember being in elementary, fifth grade, sixth, seventh grade, and just on forward. I would say a kind-hearted kind of young man and everything. It picked up some bad habit based on certain like women or young ladies, finding them more so attractive to the overly masculine and tough guy. Just growing up, and I actually grew up as an Israelite as well. So I had a good upbringing.
It's
somewhere.
Good, but you're gonna have to jump into the meat of what you want to say, because I know you have a lot to say. Jump into
Okay. So I'm gonna make it real quick. So all I really wanted to say is because you showed a video about Tupac actually expressing himself about you know, when he would treat the young lady admonish the young lady, don't let a man call you out your name and things of this nature. So basically all I'm saying, like, man, that I had the same experience with trying to express it. I just had the same experience with the woman choosing the wrong man, you know. And the nice guy's finishing last. So I had that same experience, and it kind of made me flip sides and put on the tough guy persona, because that's what the women was attracted to. So I just wanted to share that. And I hope that was sound enough. I don't know. I was trying to express myself, but that's all I really wanted to say.
I got you. And you know what? I can relate to that. I can relate to coming up. There was bad boys, people with their pants hanging a little bit, my era was when it was when Naughty by Nature was out there, and I forgot the dude from Naughty by Nature, the one that, you know, the bald head guy who went out with Pepper from Salt and Pepper. I forgot his name, but that was the thug model at the time, and you know, I felt no desire to go into that realm. Okay. Right, so I was a musician as well as a songwriter. You know, I wrote poetry. I was more into the arts and things of that nature. I wanted, you know, well rounded and cultured. But I know a lot of girls looked at that like, you know, but I didn't care. Right.
Right.
And even a thug, even people who would be considered thugs or drug dealers back in the area would say, yo, that young man is going places. Nobody better. You better not touch it. Right. So I had my father, had my family, and the gangs of whoever was around realize, okay, he's the guy that's going to make us proud, And back then, there was a community where even the bad people would protect those who they know could one day help save the community. But I digress. But based on what you're just saying here, this is what Tupac said. Fair use. Just imagine that. You're too nice. Tupac said he really was into this girl. You know, it takes a lot of, let me tell you, it takes a lot of courage for a man to go up to a young lady he cares about at this young, impressionable age. I know how it is. Only to be told, you don't qualify. Now, if this guy down the line, being square, choose not to become a thug, and then 20, 30 years later, he's up, he's a multi-billionaire, and you see him with a white woman, everyone going to call him a sellout. Right? He had to change his whole persona to something that's what? Thuggish. Don't care for women to be attracted to him. Well, guess what? The majority, and guess what? Tupac was a nerd. And I'll tell you this. How many nerds out there who don't take the bad boy route, who but accept that the people they want and care about don't want them? That's a perspective no one ever looked at. They don't grow up resenting women. They go to the women who see who they are early and respect what's in them. Not wait until I accomplish everything at the finish line and say, well, listen, at the finish line, you must choose me by default. When you didn't see what I could become and didn't care to help me become who and what I am. See? And that's a piece the sisters don't see when they see these brothers with other people. And I don't agree with them being with other people. But they're not in they're not into the word like I am. They're dealing with what the cards life has dealt them. And the cards life have dealt them. These women don't like guys like me. And at the same time, you got another woman, probably of another ethnicity, who's willing to do everything and more and treat this man like a king. At the same time, you're rejecting him. Thank you, my brother.
Thank you. Shalawah.
Shalawah. Okay, 937, you got it now?
Yes, I could hear. Thank you, Elder.
All right, bless you. And you have a great
bless
evening.
Bless you. You too.
All right. That concludes our Patreon. You have a great Sabbath. I have to eat. May the Most High be with you. Stay prayed up, sin not, and please do not be a part of the chaos. Train our people up correctly, our children, to appreciate and love one another under the admonishment of the Most High and under the order that was established from the beginning. Man, woman, child. With that, Shalom, and may the Most High be with you. And that's right, the Most High is calling back the children of Israel. I kind of love these Patreon updates. You know what I mean? Shalom. Thank you.
Yep. Okay.